Fanboys and Friends presents... A Fandom Awakens Radio spin-off podcast. Red 5, Ghost Transmissions.
Kanan?
Jedi Order Apple. This is Master Obi-Wan Kenobi. This message is a warning for any surviving Jedi. This is a warning, Dark Shadow. This is a warning. Warning.
Your home for everything Star Wars Rebels.
Warning. The Empire is hiding something important.
We'll deal with it. They can't keep it hidden forever.
I just hope it won't be too late.
There's a rebel spy in our midst. Codename Fulcrum.
We're building an alliance. This is our rebellion.
A coordinated attack by multiple rebel cells is unprecedented.
They've revealed their meager defenses. And it's exactly this moment I've been waiting for.
Welcome home. I should let them know we're coming so they don't shoot us down.
Ha! That's funny, Wait, you're not kidding, are you?
Your rebel friends are going to bring the Empire down on all of us.
If you can convince your mother to help the rebels, all of Mandalore might follow you in the Darksaber.
Once people know you have it, you will be challenged. You must use all your skills together.
I'm fighting for you and everyone else not to lose what they've got.
My friends make the impossible possible.
Come on, bust some buckets.
We will show the galaxy what happens to those who dare speak against the Emperor.
Not if I can help it.
We'll never surrender to you, Thrawn.
I'm not accepting surrenders. I want utter defeat, crashing down upon you.
Now join your crew on board the Ghost, David Senden, Kyle Wagner, and friends, as they discuss everything Star Wars Rebels.
You're in the wrong place.
Red 5, Ghost Transmissions, starts right now.
All right, gang, and welcome to the latest episode of Red 5, Ghost Transmissions, your Fandom Awakens Radio spin-off podcast. Yes, there will be more Fandom Awakens Radio, but you know what? Staying in the podcasty headspace has been a little iffy lately. But, you know, we're here, we love Rebels, we love you, so there you go. I am your host, David Senden, the guy in charge of all this. And, with me, co-piloting through this whole entire season done very solo. I know we talk about and friends, but we're wondering where the hell have our friends been. But this guy has been with us from minute one, your friend of mine, all the way on Dagobah, Florida, Kyle Wagner. Kyle, how's it going?
Good. Just remember, I'm more of a Finn than I am a Chewie.
If
I'm going to co-pilot, I'm more of a Finn than a Chewie.
Well, you're not hairy enough to be a Chewie.
Yeah, thankfully, but...
yeah. Although, I wouldn't be surprised if the tax worm does grow out a stubble a bit.
Oh, yeah, it's already started, so...
Oh, God. Well, we better hurry, then.
Yeah, I'm already pushing 50 hours a week.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, sooner or later, you're going to be like a Rain Man.
Yeah, and let's just put it this way. It's good that the season ends by March 25th because those last 2 weeks in April, I don't even think a universal translator or all the languages 3PO speaks would understand me.
Yeah, true. All right, well,
Kyle, wait. I have a question for you, David.
Sure.
Do we go into the episode first, or do we go into the bigger news from earlier in the week?
That's an excellent question, and I think since you brought it up, let's go into the big, big news. Kyle, do you have the press release handy from StarWars.com?
I've got something here, but it says Emma Stone for Best Actress.
Oh, God. Are you pulling an Oscar again?
Oh, well, you got to run with it till it dies.
Oh, jeez. Oh, jeez. Ugh.
I was wondering why Warren Beatty was in my living room.
Okay, enough of the Oscar jokes. We all thought, okay, you know, season 3 was going to be it for Star Wars Rebels. Not true. Which is good, because it gives Red 5 Ghost Transmissions another season to do. Hopefully with more than just you and me, Kyle.
Well, you know, but, I think the fans would appreciate that.
Yeah, I think they would. What do you think, fans? More than just us? And silence.
Crickets.
Crickets. Where's D. Bradley Baker when you need him? But anyway, not true. It's not going away after season 3. Disney XD has officially picked up season 4 of Star Wars Rebels, also known as Clone Wars Redux.
Well, I think season 4 might be known as Lost Rebels, because I think they're going to be separated all across the galaxy.
So you think it's going to be subtitled?
I don't think it's going to be subtitled, but I'm just curious to see where they're going to go, because the man in the hat has got to have something underneath that hat, which he's going to reveal at Celebration.
Hair.
Does he? Do we really know?
Well, I would think so. We've seen him without that hat before.
This is true. So. No, I mean, first of all, it's great news. Rebels is renewed. A lot of people were starting to wonder, it was taking so long for the announcement. We're going to get a fourth season. I'm going to bet it's probably the last season, though.
Really? Why? Why do you say that up front?
I think they're getting to a timeline crunch.
Well, but I'm going to just say this. Not everybody cares for timelines so much. What I mean by that is not everybody that's outside you, me, Jason, Jimmy, everyone doing podcasting, everyone listening to this show, not everyone's in the, you know, in baseball crowd as much as we are, right?
True.
And because of that, I just don't think that, you know, the show's going to care that much about, you know, bumping up against the timeline. Now, contrast that, Kyle, with what the movies are doing. And case in point, why there was no Rogue II sequel. Your sequel was done 40 years ago, and it's called A New Hope.
Yeah, it's just because of the characters we've got right now.
Well, but
you
see what I mean, though?
Yeah, I see what you mean. But I just do wonder if at some point they feel like they're getting to a point where they're starting to feel like they've made the run that they need to with these characters.
Well, they certainly did that with Sabine. I really don't think she's going to be a part of season 4 all that much.
Oh, I think she'll be a part, but, you know, an episode here, an episode
Yeah, but
there.
It'll be things that are based on Mandalore. I don't see her rejoining the crew.
Oh, yeah, definitely not. Well, we could see some new faces next year.
Right, yeah. Maybe some faces that aren't so painty.
we're going to get, well, you know, maybe Picasso.
Leonardo
or Raphael.
Filoni, I know you're listening. Do not do that.
Donatello. Wait, I'm starting to feel like, are they going to add a turtle to Rebels?
Filoni, listen, pal. My co-host is suffering from tax worm invasion. Do not listen to any idea.
I might, just to the fans out there, David might kick me off the ghost before the end of the episode, so it's been fun.
No, I kid. Kyle's not going anywhere.
No, it's great. There's more. I think there's more coming, and I think we find out at Celebration. Because, come on, when has Dave not had a trick or two up his sleeve and under his hat?
Well, that's true. He did learn from the grand bearded one.
Yeah, and you know, it could be the secret of the plaid.
We call him the notorious plaid.
Yes. So, we have that exciting news, and the cherry on top was what kind of felt like initially might be a filler episode of Rebels this week turned out to be an amazing episode of Rebels this week.
Yes, and that's a perfect segue into, you know, we're going to hear from the professionals first, and then you'll hear our dulcet, beautiful tones making sweet, sweet Star Wars love to your ears.
Well, wait a minute, I'm a professional.
Well, just because you do everybody's taxes doesn't mean you're making Star Wars.
Oh, okay.
It's like we love you, Kyle, but come on. Taxes, Star Wars, not even in the same league with each other.
Well, I don't know. There could be something said for the evil empire.
They might actually win battles if they did that.
Oh. Well, take us to the lovely Miss Andy.
Yes, courtesy of StarWars.com, your lovely, lovely, lovely host, and Miss Andy Gutierrez. So here it is, gang. Rebels Recon.
Hey, Internet friends, it's Andy Gutierrez from Lucasfilm here with another thrilling episode of Rebels Recon. This week, the crew met up with Mon Mothma and Gold Squadron, and now I'm here to take you behind the scenes. So fire a couple of proton torpedoes into a nebula and strap in. This episode of Recon's gonna bring the heat. During a secret mission, the Ghost crew encounters Gold Squadron, who happen to be transporting Mon Mothma.
We're in the process of building an alliance, uniting the various rebel cells across the galaxy.
But when the Empire arrives with their TIE defenders, the rebels must evade through a dangerous nebula.
Negative! Do not attack the Star Destroyers! Fire at the nebula!
After successfully escaping the Empire, Mon Mothma relays a rallying call to unite the rebellion.
This, my friends, this is our rebellion.
Secret Cargo showed the rebel fleet on the precipice of greatness. I sat down with cast and crew to talk about what Mon Mothma has been up to since Revenge of the Sith, what it was like bringing back this legendary character, and our new connections to Rogue One. Check it out. In Secret Cargo, the rebels help rescue the one and only Mon Mothma. As a Star Wars fan, what's it like bringing that iconic character into your story?
It's always fun when you get to act off of legendary characters in Star Wars, so that's been cool, and it shows what level the rebellion is growing to. And the fun part of it has been, we all have taken shots at her voice, so that's been really funny. And when either Fred or I do it, we call her Man Mothma.
In Secret Cargo, we get to see Mon Mothma right after she's left the Senate. What has she been up to since the events of Revenge of the Sith?
She's trying to limit the Emperor's power and protect as many worlds as she can through politics, negotiations, diplomacy. This is failing, and she knows it's failing.
She wants some type of legitimate strength fight the Empire, but we pick her up at a point where she realizes that that's all pretty much lost at this point, and she doesn't really believe that they're going to be able to avoid open conflict, but she's concerned that they don't really have the resources to fight the Empire.
This is a historic moment in the series. She's been doing a lot of what Bail Organa has been doing, which is clandestinely arranging rebel cells and funneling support to these freedom fighters across various places in the galaxy, but she hasn't come out as a public enemy of the Empire until this episode.
We meet Gold Leader and General down in this episode as well.
Yeah.
What have they been up to while we've been following another rebel cell?
There probably is a whole TV series just about Gold Leader and General Dodonna and the crazy adventures that they're on, but they were a great way to symbolize Yavin, kind of like the bigger rebellion that's going on, and teaming up our groups.
They're primarily a fighter squadron, so they've probably been protecting convoys, maybe hitting a few soft Imperial targets here and there. You gotta remember, we're not at the point where it's been a public declaration of war against the Empire.
Mm-hmm.
That really comes in Rogue One. So So they are doing stealth missions, small things here and there.
Mon Mothma discusses the idea of uniting the rebel cells. How does this relate to the Rebel Alliance as we see in Rogue One?
This is probably a key moment where many of the characters we see in Rogue One coming together, they probably first came together in this episode.
This is really about bringing all these various cells together and learning how to operate effectively together. But as we see in Rogue One, there's still a lot of disagreement as to how to deal with this empire.
Producing this stuff is tricky because you're trying to make it all line up, but you'll see, you know, as we go forward that there's more of a Rogue One aesthetic that influences Rebels as I try to include some of the look of those groups.
Is it safe to assume that much of the fleet that we see at the end of this episode is present during Rogue One?
I would say a lot of it is. Maybe not all of it, because there's a few ship types that we don't see in Rogue One, so maybe they just weren't combat ready. Maybe they were off in the wings getting refitted for a future combat, but I want to think that everything that the Rebel Alliance had that could move, that could fight, was sent to Scarif.
Ezra, see if you can get these tires off me.
I can't, there's too many of them.
Carabast, a Star Destroyer. Evasive maneuvers.
Chopper, can you please turn the TV down? Some of us are trying to do actual work here.
What TV?
TV is not on.
Sorry, Katie.
Come on, Chop.
Lucasfilm Story Group's Pablo Hidalgo is a cool dude. So cool, in fact, that I need to wear these shades to get your Burning Rebels questions answered. Let's go.
What's up, Pablo?
You know, I have this conference room booked.
Oh.
No, but you can ask.
Cool. I've got a question from Joshua Parrish.
Oh, okay.
He asks, do the insignias Thrawn's stormtroopers and officers have on their pauldrons and uniforms have any significance?
They do. They are a stylized depiction of a chimera, basically a three-headed monster. So that's what those prongs represent. Basically, anyone in Thrawn's forces has the ability to wear that emblem.
Good to know. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Pablo.
Later.
Stay cool.
Got questions about secret cargo or anything else you want answered? Tweet it to @StarWars using the hashtag RebelsRecon, and we'll answer what we can online.
All right, Kyle, so what do you make of Recon this week?
Well, you know, I think it's the same thing like I said. It's just like, wow, this is... When we talk about this episode, this is a huge episode in the timeline.
Yeah, it is. It very much is.
And I think Recon really kind of even added a little more to that feeling of it.
Yeah, and it also, can I just say, it's nice that Genevieve O'Reilly is getting to do more Mon Mothma than what George unnecessarily cut from episode 3.
No, that's always true, and, you know, I think Mon Moth is one of the characters that really has been underplayed throughout the Star Wars, history of the Star Wars universe.
And I have to add, I am sure that unlike the original Mon Mothma, Genevieve O'Reilly knows the moon is round.
We hope so.
Not flat. Not flat like a plate.
Yes, we hope so. We truly hope so.
I'm sure she needs to know this to embrace the moon mother fully.
Yes. Though Chopper might be trying to be convincing her otherwise.
Oh, God. Well, based on the, we'll talk about it later, but based on the preview for next week, God knows what Chopper is doing.
Yeah, this is true.
Mm.
So now, David, I got to ask you about this episode, though.
Sure.
We talked about this a little last week. We both got the feeling from this week's episode it was going to be a filler episode. We were kind of dreading it a little bit.
Yeah, you were more than me.
Yeah, I mean, it just felt like, to me, from the trailer, and this is one of those things where I give them credit for keeping a pretty good secret till later in the week as far as what this episode was really going to be about.
Oh, I do too.
So, I wasn't expecting that powerful of a moment. I wasn't basically expecting to see the birth of the true rebellion.
Yeah.
I was just blown away.
I actually got to say that I probably would have wanted, I don't know how it could have been done, but some Force Unleashed elements be woven into that idea.
Yeah, I could see that a little bit, but, you know, I think they did a spectacular job with it. And
absolutely, especially with that last shot, because you saw some animated Rogue One.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, the powerful feel of that shot.
Oh, absolutely. And we got classic characters. They're not just Mon Mothma, but there's Dodonna. And there's the guy that's in episode 4, and he's literally standing next to Leia.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about. I can't think of his name, though.
I can't either, but, you know, there's the animated version of that guy.
Yes. So, well, I think without further ado, let's kind of dive into the episode a little bit and talk about what's going on.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Kyle. In the last few weeks, before the tax worm fully makes you incoherent, I'm sure it's already starting in some ways. Please take us through the episode verbatim.
Well, we start off at this episode with the ghost in hiding in basically a junk field in space, waiting for a mission where they're supposed to be picking up some kind of special cargo, but they have no idea about this mission. And on the ghost, we've got Ezra, we've got Zeb, we've got Hera, and we've got Chopper.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the guys are basically bored, and they've been watching the holofeed, and they see Senator Mon Mothma going against the Empire, and they're talking about how brave she is and what a dangerous position she's put herself in. And about this time, the Rebels version of a probe droid shows up.
Yep.
Doing a scan. Everybody's kind of on edge because this thing's doing a scan. Well, it does detect them. And as they're chasing it, all of a sudden, a group of ships show up out of hyperspace. And just at that time, the Rebels do blow up the droid, but it probably was too late as it had gotten a transmission out.
Yep. Now, were those the ships that the Rebels helped steal and get to Dodonna's fleet?
I don't know if they were or not, because, and I'll discuss this in the final shot later in the episode, because there was a couple of those ships in the final shot.
Yeah, there was quite a few.
So, but what we find out is there's a group of Y-wings, and of course the Empire shows up, and I think, you know, that's one of the things about Rebels is they've actually shown the Y-wing be an effective fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Because they never did that in the original trilogy.
No. In the original trilogy, you actually were like, okay, Y-Wing is cool, but why isn't the Y-Wing doing anything?
Yeah, exactly. So one of the things...
And I love the Y-Wing. Don't get me wrong there. I absolutely love the Y-Wing. But what was it doing?
Yeah.
Even they found a function for the U-Wing.
Yeah, I know.
So, and the biggest joke I had with the U-Wing was, who was its original captain? A guy named J.R.?
Oh, I knew that was coming, and I didn't stop it. I apologize, listeners.
Zing!
I knew it was coming. I was waiting for it. I should have given you a warning.
Somewhere Pablo Hidalgo is refilling his Rebels Recon glass right now.
Just as long as you don't go chasing after Sue Ellen, all is good.
No. No.
So
what do I look like, Minok?
No, don't even do that to him. That's not nice.
Oh, come on, Minok. We love you. You know that.
So the Rebels meet up with this rebel group to get this special, looks like their goddess fuel for this ship so it can keep moving on with this secret cargo they supposedly have. And here they meet up with Gold Leader and a couple of his pilots, and we come to find out that Phoenix Squadron is not exactly real popular within the rebellion.
Well, no, so they're like rebels within the rebels.
They think that the Ghost crew goes a little too far and makes things harder for the rebellion. And I'm like, you guys do realize they went head to head with Vader, right?
Well, I'm hearing that, and I'm thinking, wait, isn't that what you guys think of Saw?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, I gotta say, and I'll just add to this because I brought it up, but I gotta say that's what I want to see in season 4. I want to see more of Saw. I want more of that tension between Saw and the Alliance that obviously led to Saw splintering from the Alliance and what we saw in Rogue One. I want season 4 to focus on that. I think it's a little late for season 3 to bring Saw back at this point.
Yeah, I can see bringing Saw back for an episode or two now that we know we have a season 4. It's going to be interesting to see what direction they're going to go, because we've got a few interesting episodes left before this season's out that I think are going to be game changers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. What I don't want to see, and we'll talk about it again when we record the Twin Suns review, is I don't want to see Obi-Wan become a regular thing. Because,
no, absolutely,
you know,
we
talked about timeline smudging, and I will always bring up the case. Not many people are going to care, right? And show ratings certainly don't care. But if you're just, you know, bringing Obi-Wan into this constantly, you might as well have just animated the original trilogy.
Yeah, no, I agree. But let's get back to the episode, because we get an interesting development, I think, early on in this episode, David. One of the Y-Wing fighters gets taken out when the Ghost is attacked and injured, so Ezra takes over piloting the Y-Wing. And it turns out Ezra's a pretty good pilot.
Well, what strikes me is Hera trusts this kid probably more than anybody else does.
Oh, yeah, most definitely, except maybe Kanan.
Well, don't get me... I have a few gripes with Kanan that I'm probably not going to talk about on air, but, you know... And I've talked with you about it before, Kyle. They go back to... He's basically been... the equivalent of a neutered character from being blind onward.
Well, I think that's one of the things that Rebel season 4 has kind of done to a lot of the characters. It's neutered them. I think.
No, season 3.
Oh yeah, season 3.
Your Freudian slipped and said season 4.
Yeah,
we're too excited. We're getting to season 4.
Yeah, no, season 3 has kind of neutered a lot of the characters this year, I think. I think it's gone the other direction. I thought we were going to get more character growth, and I think what's happened is a lot of people took a backseat this season to Ezra and Sabine.
Yeah. And I will say what we've got, probably more so than any of the old Heir to the Empire novels, and don't hang me, fandom, for saying this, but what we got, probably more than any of those novels, is more depth to Thrawn.
Yeah, no, I agree. And with the Thrawn book right around the corner, we're going to get a lot more depth there, too.
Oh, absolutely.
So, moving back to the episode, Ezra, along with Gold Leader and a few of the surviving Y-Wings, do take out this Empire attack squad that basically comes after them. As they go into hyperspace and escape, we learn that the secret cargo was our beloved senator. Because due to the attack, everybody had to go on the Ghost.
Right.
So what I find very interesting about this is she knows exactly who Ezra is, and she's very familiar with the Phoenix Squadron. And it has nothing but high praise for them.
Oh, yeah.
which is basically the opposite of what everybody else has said at this point.
Yeah, I found that kind of amusing.
Well, and I also found it very strange that here we have this, we have this top secret car, quote unquote cargo, and here you have maybe the most trusted soldiers of the rebellion, and nobody's saying anything to even them.
Mm-hmm.
That just felt a little off to me.
More than a bit.
But I, like I said, I think it led to some great setup. We've got Governor Price chasing down the rebels as they head towards this nebula to escape. And if there is nothing else that Rebels does, and it does a lot, so, but they do nebulas and bright colors and stuff beautifully.
Oh yeah, you look at nebulas and bright colors and you're like, ooh, pretty.
And like,
you know what it reminded me of. Mm-hmm. Remember the Clone Wars episode where Anakin takes a group through the Balmora Run?
Yeah.
It was reminding me of that.
No, I can see that some.
Yeah, I mean, except without the giant, what was it, space whales or dragonflies or whatever it was.
Well, we had the space whales earlier in season 2.
Well, but I'm talking when we had them there.
Yeah, no, I agree. No, but
I'd rather not think of the space whales.
But no, I agree. And I, you know, what's interesting here is we see this new prototype ship that Thrawn's been working on get used. It's a tie with shields. And here's the thing: we haven't seen this ship before, have we, David?
No.
Yeah,
I was actually thinking I kind of want to see that on screen. I mean, if they can make the TIE Striker a thing.
Yeah, well, but here's the thing. Ezra recognizes this ship. I'm like, we have never seen this ship before.
Well, let's not forget Ezra when they were infiltrating one of the Star Destroyers a few weeks back.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah,
Let's not forget that. That's probably where Ezra saw it.
Yeah, I'll give you that one. So they're fighting within this nebula, and there's a great scene where Hera trying to escape, and they're warned early on what happens in this nebula is basically stars are born in it. And there's this great scene where they're all diving towards a star, and you see this, I mean, the ship's basically becoming on fire and blowing up. And Hera definitely pushes the goats to its limits in this sequence.
Did you say goats or ghost?
Ghost.
Oh, I was like, oh, please, Tax Swarm, steadfast. That was very bad.
Yes. So, because of this, when they do escape from the nebula and get out of the nebula and they think they've escaped, the ghost is not in good shape. And unfortunately, the Empire has kind of figured out the path, thanks to Thrawn, yet again, always about 5 chess moves ahead of everybody else.
Right, because that's what he does. It's Thrawn.
Yep. The Empire is there waiting for them.
Yep.
And I love this. There's this great scene with Mon and Hera sitting in the ghost, almost like they're having a couple of beers, just trying to figure out a plan.
Right. Now, I gotta say, is that, and I'm just gonna say the word, what fandom dreads more than anything, is that calf?
Ooh, I hope not.
Oh, I think it is. I think it's hashtag calf has cannon. Calf cannon.
Oh, man.
I know. I'm going to start so much wars right now.
I'll send all your email care of David Sendem of Red 5 Ghost Transmissions.
Oh, Kyle. Come on, man. We've heard calf before in some of the earlier novels.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we have an heir to Jedi. That novel shouldn't have happened, but we have Luke eating a cup of noodles.
Oh, you know, instant ramen is good in any universe.
Moving on.
Yes,
moving along. Nothing to see here.
So, we see Ezra and Gold Leader appear out of the nebula after beating off the TIE Striker. And they come just in time, and Hera gets to brainstorm the idea, let's blow up the nebula now. And
because Hera always knows best.
Yes, of course. We always trusted Hera. So after a good round of playing Barbecue the Starship, which I have to admit, those were some pretty awesome animated scenes.
It was. It reminded me of now this was definitely a filler episode, but it reminded me of that Clone Wars episode with Meeber Gascon when they had the gorgeous explosion.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Yeah, no, it was the more memorable thing than the dancing frog.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So, they escape. And one of the things that I thought was really cool in this episode, too, was the look of the Y-Wings docked with the ghost.
Yeah.
For some reason, that just looked cool to me.
Well, yeah. They came up from under, didn't it?
Yeah, and then they were on either side of the ghost.
Connected. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
So, they get to the quote-unquote coordinates rendezvous point, and Mom puts out her message. And this is where I think everybody who was watching this episode at the time just kind of had that holy crap moment, because she puts out the message, and it just, you sit there for a minute, and then it's just starship after starship after starship coming out of hyperdrive and showing up. And that final shot was basically something I felt like I was watching Rogue One again.
Oh, God, yes. Rogue One on digital HD, March 24th, kids.
Not far away. But, I mean, and I'm just sitting here going, thinking to myself, we just, as the credits started rolling, I'm like, we just saw the true birth of the actual rebellion.
Oh yeah, I love this episode. This episode took a huge leap to not just further the show, but also for those that care, because I will always stick to my guns. A lot of people don't, but for those that care, furthering the Star Wars lore and timeline.
Well, and I think that's what season 4 is going to be a lot of historical points in the timeline.
Now, do you think they'll do? We're in the speculation portion, kids. But do you think they'll do what they did? They'll do for season 4 to open it, do the ghost POV of Scarif?
I could see that, but I could also see that being like the mid-season finale too.
I can also see that being a movie of the week, because they haven't done one of those for a while.
Yeah, I know that they haven't done one of their like special hour episodes. So yeah, that could very well be. So
yeah, although technically, because the ghost is in 3 shots, technically you could say they've already done it. It's Rogue One.
Well, yeah, true, but you know, it's going to be hard to say
because that's from a certain point of view.
Yeah, well, and it's going to be hard to say because we've got 3 episodes left, and we know what's coming in at least one of them.
Yeah, so, unfortunately, yeah.
So I'm just curious to see what point when the season ends where we're at.
I will be too. We kind of know that from the last 2, Thrawn finds their base on where they Alon.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't think we're going to be in a real happy place when this season ends.
No, I'm going to guess, and we'll talk about it in the coming weeks, but I'm going to guess that where we're going to be is a very Empire Strikes Back sort of place.
Yeah, I could easily see that. I think this season ends with at least a victory for Thrawn.
Oh, God, yes. I mean, one of the things I worried about when they brought Thrawn on is, was this going to be a one and done?
Well, that's definitely not the case.
No, not at this point. Not, what, 3 episodes away from ending?
Yeah. So, speaking of upcoming episodes, David.
Yes?
I know we maybe don't really want to, but do we have the clip for next week's episode?
We have the clip. Here, I'm going to shut my eyes as we roll this. Roll okay. The clip.
Here are the codes, Captain. I saved them from C-110P.
AP-5 and Chopper were playing some spy game the whole trip.
It was not a game. This is a serious matter. I have grave concerns about Chopper.
By the way, where is he?
Please, you must listen to me.
Chop, where are you? Chopper? I'll find him. Chopper? What are you doing in the hyperspace logs? Updating your database? You're not making any sense, Chop. You had files wiped on killing? No, if you remember, I always wipe your data after every jump, as a security precaution. I think you need a power recharge.
All right, shoo. That was relatively painless. Kyle. Is it me? Galaxy far, far away.
I'm over these episodes, David. I'm just over them.
No, I'm over filler as well. I mean, this just feels like, you know, because we got Twin Suns a week after, right?
Right.
This just feels like an appetizer, scratch that. And let me just say, I love Rebels. Love Pablo, Joel, Dave, everyone working. I worship at the altar of Dave Filoni. He is the heir apparent of George Lucas, after all. But this episode, you might as well have just given me a plate full of, you know, semi-stale beef jerky before you get to the big main course, which is Obi-Wan and Maul.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the problem too, David, is we know that's coming, and we're to the point now where we want to be there. And when we see an episode like this where it's based on the droids, it's definitely looking to be a filler episode. When we know what's right ahead, it's like, no, we want it, and we want it now.
Right. Well, we've got to be patient.
I've been patient long enough. These aren't the droids I'm looking for.
Well, sure, not one that sounds like Marvin and one that sounds like, you know, Pee-wee Herman's Playhouse broke down.
Well, here's the thing. We've got Chopper being basically almost brainwashed by the Empire. Are we sure that's a good thing?
Not really. No, that's definitely not a good thing.
Well, I mean, is that a good idea in the Empire's case? Do they really want Chopper on their side? That could be more harmful than good.
Well, I never credited the Empire for having an abundance of brains. Why they fell.
This is true. This is true.
And we got the First Order a la Lord of the Flies. I know. Let's hope episode 8 doesn't fully embrace the Lord of the Flies metaphor.
I'm taking the conch from you now.
Really? Oh, okay. Go ahead. All right. All right. You're allowed. You're allowed.
No, I guess it's just a little general frustration because this is the way this season has been. It's like, we know something big is coming, but first we get a filler episode. And I just,
right.
We've gotten more filler episodes this season than we have in any season of Rebels.
Yeah, no, or Clone Wars for that matter.
I mean, I don't know if it's because we know Dave kind of stepped away this season because of his other responsibilities or what's going on.
I will guess, if I were a betting man, which I'm not, I put money on this, but I will guess that is it. And I think what he was working on is a second animated series. Now, Kyle, my question before we wrap this up, right?
Okay.
Is, could we really have two series running at a time? Is that even humanly possible?
I think it's possible, but it depends. I think if they do a second series, it has to be at a totally different space in the timeline.
Well, I think, and I will just say this, as much as I love Rebels, and I do. I mean, you and I do this show. We're big fans of Rebels. But as much as I love Rebels, I gotta say, the show I wanted was not this. The show I wanted was a series between Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens.
Yeah, I think we're going to get something that's going to take place during that timeline soon. I just don't know quite when. I think it's time that they listen to the people, though, because I want my Netflix and I want my Old Republic series.
Well, you have an Old Republic series from a certain point of view. It's called Game of Thrones.
Yeah, this is true.
It just happens to have dragons and boobies in it.
Lots of them.
Lots of them. It is HBO, after all, children.
Yes. Well, there'll be no children watching a Game of Thrones.
Yes, yeah. That's why I say, you know, I know we're getting Avatar Land, Star Wars Land, yippee! Although, don't worry, I won't be doing that come opening day.
Oh, you'll be doing much worse.
Yeah, a lot of people will do it much worse. I hope they have Depends on the top of that Falcon ramp.
Okay. We need to end this because it's going to go really bad really quick.
All right.
So I personally am going to give this episode an 8 out of 10. I think it was very powerful. I can't quite put it up at that 9.5 level, considering some of the things we got earlier this season. But it's a very powerful, very historic episode of Rebels. Easily a good 8.
Oh, it is. I will go a little bit higher than you. I will give this episode a 8.5.
That's fair. I can roll with that.
Mm-hmm. With the option to add a 9.75.
Well, only Thank if I'm you, going Harry. To Hogwarts.
Only if I'm going to Hogwarts. Thank you, Harry Potter.
Well, Fantastic Beasts did come out digitally today.
Oh, jeez. No, I know. I'm waiting for my Rogue One on digital.
Well, there's that. Or are you just waiting for Old Man Skywalker?
Oh! I so want that movie. You saw my social media post on it. I so want that movie.
Yeah, you were a little inspired after seeing Logan.
Twice.
Yes. Excellent movie. Go see it.
And no, we don't need a rated R old man Skywalker, all right?
No.
So don't get that inspired. But, you know, go see Logan and then think old man Skywalker and what we know so far of the, you know, where he is and what we know from the new canon books. And tell me you wouldn't want that movie. Actually, don't tell me because I would still find you absurd.
That's okay. We always find you absurd, David.
No, come on. We welcome everyone here. You know, yes. whether you want or not, whether you like it or think it's, you know, the level of Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern. No, we want everything is welcome here.
bring us your fandom. Bring us your love of Sabine.
Oh God! Yeah. Okay. Bring him.
You open the door.
Stop it! Bring him the love of Sabine.
I think we might. It might be time to say goodbye to the good people.
Yes. Goodbye, good people. No, never mind. all right. Yeah. That'll end this episode of Red 5 Ghost Transmissions, your Fandom Awakens Radio spin-off podcast. I am your host, David Senden, and for me, and...
for Kyle Wagner and his tax worm.
Always remember, gang, stay rebellious.
Always.
Thanks for listening to Red 5 Ghost Transmissions.
Things are getting worse just as they did back when I was your age. But back then, there were 10,000 Jedi Knights protecting the galaxy. Now,
there's just you and me.
Star Wars and Star Wars Rebels are trademarks of Lucasfilm.
We rob from the Empire, give to the needy. A noble cause.
Yeah.
I'm on my mark.
And Lucasfilm Animation, respectively.
Gotcha.
Mission accomplished.
Lucasfilm and Lucasfilm Animation are subsidiaries of the Walt Disney Company.
Lord Vader.
Yes, Master.
The rebels in the Lothal system. Hunt them down.
As you wish.
All rights reserved.
Fighter coming in at Mark 3.
We've lost Phoenix 1 and 2.
We will squeeze Lothal until someone reveals the whereabouts of these traitors.
For the good of Lothal, we have to leave.
All right, if I tag along?
The more the merrier.
Fighting alongside soldiers isn't what I signed up for.
We are fighting a bigger fight. We can't just run.
Ezra, we were lucky to survive.
This podcast is not sponsored or endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or its subsidiary, Lucasfilm.
Fear. The anger. The hate. I haven't sensed a presence like that since...
the Clone Wars.
My name is Rex. Captain. 501st Clone Battalion. I fought with Commander Tano during the Clone Wars. And a friend of hers... is a friend of mine.
Everyone, hang
Star
on.
Wars and Star Wars Rebels are trademarks of Lucasfilm and Lucasfilm Animation, respectively.
Good news, we are off on
this
an
podcast
adventure.
Is not sponsored or endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or its subsidiary Lucasfilm.
Rex, keep those ties off our back.
Working on it.
Surrender.
I hope you brought a better class of soldier than those stormtroopers.
They'll all be coming now.
This podcast, Red 5 Ghost Transmissions, is meant for information and entertainment purposes only.
I'm not afraid.
That's what worries me.
Your master has deceived you into believing you can become a Jedi.